never thought I'd be the first to say, Heather. I'm loving this earth season we're in. But that could be, you know, the bias to the Pisces full moon we're also in. Could it not be? Come on. Come on. It's me. It's me.
It could be. It's apparently a super blue moon because it's the second full moon of the month.
It's massive, which, though. It does affect the size.
I don't know. I think that actually affects the color.
I could totally have this wrong. Right. Like I could totally have this wrong. But
no, I mean, I there must be a reason, right?
It's its location, which is why it's given the super title. But I do think sometimes it can have the color, cuz like a pink moon or whatever.
Yeah.
Or yeah, a pink moon. Yeah, I do think the way
a blood moon, right? That's what they call it, like a super blood moon, or
because that is the light you're seeing on the moon, right? We understand this. Oh God, tell me I'm right. That the moon, like how bright the moon is like, and its location. That's like how we get its size, and the literal light of it is how the sun's hitting it. So I actually do think
you're right.
The color appears a little different for like a blood moon. Blue, I'm not so sure, but we'll see.
Yes.
And it's like Pisces, and it's blue, and it's watery, and it's big. Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, I'm going to look close at it.
And I promise.
Right? I like it. I hope that it has a blue hue.
I'm going to make this entire intro about my father, Drew Lenski, who shouts out, by the way, never listens to this podcast. Let me just go ahead and out him right now. However, he does subscribe to it, which God bless him. That gets us the downloads. Folks, you don't have to listen. You just have to subscribe. And so I told him way back when, I was like, you know, I don't listen to it. I don't want your feedback, your little Virgo notes. And true to his, he just also doesn't, my dad doesn't listen to podcasts. I don't think he knows how, but I like went on his phone. I'm pretty sure I like did it and walked him through it or whatever. Maybe I did it in person. However, of course, he's a YouTuber though. And I told him, Heather, about our last episode on YouTube and how it just, it got a lot of hits, which was really exciting. And I was sharing that with him. And so naturally he went and investigated. And then, of course, he watches the most recent YouTube video uploaded, which, of course, was the most recent episode we uploaded, which, of course, was a whole intro about him. And he was like, you had to tell people Farrah Fawcett hair. And he's like, you made me sound finicky, like I do my nails. And I'm like, you do. And then, of course, he hears the line and I'm like, did you listen to the whole thing? And he's like, sure did. And I'm like, so you heard the part where Heather was like, Virgos are super sexual. And he's like, of course. Of course. My whole point to this, though, I was on the phone with him earlier today and he was like, have you seen this moon? Of course, my Virgo father is like, look at this moon. And I'm like, you bet your ass, Drew. It's a full moon in Pisces if you would listen. But yeah, so shouts out to Drew. That's the last of that, though. I swear, lock it up.
Yeah,
can't be making this whole thing about him. But yeah, of course, the Virgo feedback and then the Virgo awareness of like, hey, looking at this move.
I love that he had the Virgo feedback. Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of retrospect like this. When we talk about a full moon or a new moon, Heather,
in
a specific sign, I know that we talk about this a lot, but I want to make sure I'm like doubling back for the beginners out there. When we talk about like a new moon or a full moon, folks, those come with different energies in themselves. And because of astrology, I've gotten more into tracking the moon cycles. Very fascinating stuff. And a new moon is exactly kind of sort of what it represents, right? It's you can't see it, it's not visible, it's a fresh new moon. So the new moon energy, no matter what sign it's in, sort of brings about you know, when mm-hmm. we're in a new moon, or when we're aware the new moon is happening, when we're in that phase, there's a certain energy that comes along with it, like fresh start, the spiritual folks in the spiritual realms and communities like to talk about, it's a great time for like sort of manifesting new, fresh goals or dreams, or sort of just writing down what you want to embody, what you want to encompass, mm-hmm. right? That's sort of the energy you're in. Now, on the astrological side of that a little more, every new moon and full moon comes with a sign. So it's always like, whatever it is, right? Tell me if I'm butchering this, Heather, but it's like, you're also, it's like, it's still a new moon, yada, yada, but it's in a specific sign. So like, you want to be aware of that energy as well. You always know what the new moon energy is going to bring, but whatever element and sign it's in is also plays a big part. And yeah. So similar to a new moon, a full moon is sort of that, it's the halfway point of the moon cycle before it starts going away again and then fully recycling. So a full moon's kind of like that midway point. It's a beautiful time to check mm-hmm, in with yourself, mm-hmm. sort of like reflect on those manifestations yeah. and that new moon energy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really interesting to use the moon cycles as a way to like reflect personally. It's changed my life. And then again with that, yes, there's a lot of kind of like yeah. retrospect that naturally yeah. happens with a full moon, and it's in the middle though, so it's like kind yeah. of split of like looking back and then also how to go forward. And then whatever element we're in plays a huge part in that. So Pisces is also naturally
yeah.
a very introspective and retrospective. Am I saying that right? Retrospective? Does that make sense? The listener yeah. will correct me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Retro, yeah, it's reflect. Yeah, it's yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Heather the writer, folks. Give it up to her.
In retrospect.
But yeah, I got a fucking degree
right.
in creative writing as well, and I can never remember yeah. words. Anywhoozy. But the sign of Pisces.
Yeah, itself, you have the all the same.
Is, yes.
Credentials.
Retrospective. In retrospect, and intuitive, and just sort of like internally, it's a gushy one, yeah, to have on a full moon. So now, anything I butchered there, Heather, anything you would like
focused
to add?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're totally right. I'd like to add that when there's a right. new moon, and the pattern has been kind of fucky lately, but usually the new moon is when the sun and the moon are together next to each other on the zodiac wheel. Right. So people who are born on a new moon are usually, they have the sun and the moon in the same sign because the moon and the sun are very close to each other. And right. then halfway through the month, the moon becomes opposite the sun. And so the sun represents ego and conscious awareness. Mm. And the moon represents like emotions and more subconscious feeling stuff. And so the new moon, when the sun and the moon are together, is usually a time when you can bring consciousness to your feelings. And there's like an awareness of like, this is the sun sign we're in. And this is like something about my feelings and my subconscious throughout this energy is more accessible in a conscious way right now. And then when the full moon right. happens, it's the opposite energy. And it that's why I think it kind of feels like more intense, is because you are being opposed by this opposite energy that is felt a little bit more subconsciously and at odds with
yes.
what the conscious sun energy
For me,
is dealing
yes.
with.
But I also do think you, yes, you very, you articulated that very well. And just another thing I wanted mm-hmm. to add to that. Yes, especially because we always know whatever sign was just sort of next door. Again, how you said the new moons are, the schedule's a little fucky right now. Whatever sign is sort of next door, that being the new moon and going into the next sign, that's sort of, It's not always so related, whereas like the full moon energy is always the opposite sign. I feel like I'm saying that in a confusing way. But because the full moon energy with itself brings about sort of like an introspective, reflective time, and then it's in the opposite sign that's shared on the same sort of spiritual line, an energy line, it makes sense that it's sort of like extra intense. All right, just had to take a quick little shift there, Heather. Some Mercury in retrograde business. I forgot that's happening too.
I know.
Which again, and then like remind me again, Heather, it's like a communication is like the biggest thing, right? During Mercury in retrograde that tends to get.
Yeah, yeah. Communication and tools you use to communicate. So like phones, mm-hmm. computers, our Zoom session.
The Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi going out in the middle of us recording a podcast.
Literally. Yeah.
That's wild. There is just so much happening. I know I feel like I say this every episode, but the reality is that there is so much happening.
There is.
And the layers to this are, God, they peel back forever. But really for me personally, understanding the moon cycle, understanding new moon, full moon energy, what that means as a standalone, mm-hmm. and then what it means astrologically, depending on the sun sign we're in and the extra intensity that brings during a full moon, because it's two signs that share the same astrological sort of spiritual
axis, the same, and theme.
Yes. Themes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sort of kind of no wonder it's extra intense. And the full moon energy in itself is more intense. And
yes,
it's that halfway point too of that balance of like, we're reflecting, but we're reflecting to move forward. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, which is kind of feels super fucking earth.
Yeah, it does.
But then
it does.
We're in this very Pisces
space
full
right
moon
now.
And then this Mercury in retrograde. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Venus is about to be done retrograding also, which I'm excited about.
Yes. I forgot. Yeah. What all is retrograding? And
so,
again, just as another reminder for the listeners, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, Heather, I love quizzing myself. Yeah. For you. I'm like, watch this, Heather. Watch this. See if I get this wrong. But as I understand it, retrograde, again, we love talking, like, astrology is very, I hate saying trendy, because that's just like,
I know,
what a silly word for something that, it can't be trending. It's been around forever. It's like saying, like, science is really trending right now. What the fuck? NASA's really trending.
Oh,
well,
God.
That makes sense, you know, if something exciting happens. But astrology in itself, sometimes, I think the way information is spread, there's very surface level understanding sometimes for folks, mm-hmm. and like retrograde, as I always understood it, was like everything's falling apart. Oh, it's retrograde, and people love to joke like retrograde just means everything's crumbling. All retrograde really is our perspective from Earth, how the planets look from our perspective of Earth. It's not actually happening. They're not physically going backwards. It just looks like they are, mm-hmm. or it looks like they're staying still.
Well,
no,
then
staying still is a different thing. Or staying still.
There's the station retrograde and the station direct, where it looks like, yeah, usually before it actually starts retrograding, there's the, it's right. stationing retrograde. So there's that moment right. of like, it looks like it's
okay.
just paused. But yeah, no, but you're totally right. Everything you're saying is correct.
The idea is that it actually looks like it's, but it's, it, and it's not. And that's the whole idea,
yeah.
is that we're not, you're, it's not a time to go backwards.
Right.
That's why it feels like it's a symbolic time to
yeah.
reflect.
It's to review.
But then also, mm-hmm. because it's like things are a little backwards symbolically, quote mm-hmm. unquote, communication is something that can be, it's a weird time sometimes, right?
Yeah,
or is that
yeah.
specifically uh-huh. Mercury in retrograde? Is
the
it
communication
Mercury
part of it is specific to Mercury, whereas Venus has also been retrograding
okay.
since July, and that's way more specific to like love, beauty, what we're attracted to. So that's why they say during a Venus retrograde, your exes will come out of the woodwork, or like you'll run into someone from the past, or you'll have things with money. You know, it's all about values and the Venus stuff. So right now we have Venus and Mercury both retrograde, but that's going to change by the end of this week. Venus is going to go direct after being
okay.
retrograde since July. It was retrograde for so fucking long. And I'm especially excited.
Long
though.
For Venus?
Yeah. I mean, it's long in general,
long for
I feel
anything?
Like. Yeah, like, I think so.
Because Mercury in retrograde happens. Does that not happen every month?
It happens.
Or every
it feels
season?
Like it's happening all the fucking time. But it's apparently only about 3 times a year, give or take. That's not exact. But yeah, I know. But it feels like it's like constant because whenever it's happening, it's all anyone can talk about. But but yeah, no, but Mercury just started retrograding, I want to say last week, or maybe like a week and a half ago, and it's going to be done by September 15th. But this Venus shit has been happening since July, and it's not going to be done retrograding till September, and that's why we're saying it's the summer of love, because it was like Venus is all spending extra time in Leo, which is a sign of love and affection and partying and romance. Right. But but yeah. But it's going to go over my ascendant one more time, which I'm excited about. Because whenever Venus goes over your rising sign, it's like, beauty is thrust in your direction. Here's a raise. Here's a note from a lover. Here's a, you know, so.
Is that just because it's happening? It's going to be passing through Leo?
Right. So it backtracked. Okay. And now it's going to go over it for a second time. Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha. I was like, that's not everyone's
anyway,
reason.
I know. but whatever house Leo falls in for you, you'll probably feel this sort of like there feel was like a review there. Period, and now, you know, it's going to go forward and maybe bring some beauty into that area of life in some way.
This is why, folks. You got to study your charts. You got to know your houses. You got to know, because there's not a single part. All right, you want to get into it? Let's get into it. You want to get into it? I'll get into it a little bit.
Yeah, let's get into it.
I'm just in the Pisces full moon enough. But, like, there's this idea, right, that we're all technically stardust?
Yeah, that we're made from like stars. Phrase, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, literally.
Right, and, like, star seeds. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's actually set for, like, a specific type of person. But, like, yes, this idea that we all do... And I think that's like technical, right?
The Big Bang, like, right? Is like the idea like that we're literally, it all started with a kapow and the stars. And yeah.
Like, I'm not saying something that's just actually like a spiritual
no,
thing.
No,
like,
no, no. This is science.
Real.
Yes.
I just don't know how
Hi,
to.
NASA.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Heather. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Heather. Shouts out to NASA for that one. Hey. Hey, shouts out to the aliens or us from the future.
Yes.
Don't get me going. I'll tangent. I will. Ooh, you want me to digress us? No, you don't. Okay. So, Heather, you're a bad influence, or the best. So this idea that we're all stardust, yada yada. Not idea, facts, science. Thank you. There's not a single part that's like why it is all yours. You do. There is a little piece. Sorry, I'm not yelling at the listeners. Let me relax. I'm just excited. I'm passionate. Pisces. It all is for us. It's like, I think there's kind of sometimes like an eye roll of like, oh, so we're actually 3 signs, are we? Oh, and that explains blah, blah, blah. And I just don't have time for Capricorn. I mean, people who say that.
I know. No, we're all of it. We're all of it.
And so that's why when you think about where all the placements are in your houses, like there is a little piece, like that's the whole thing with astrology. It's all one big ass puzzle. But every little piece is so necessary.
Yeah, because we're one.
There's not a single. And in the more, this is why it's so exciting, because I feel like the more people who are like giving a shit about their placements in the moon or whatever, what have you, it's like the more we're on a vibration, the more we're all connected, the more we can start fitting pieces to the puzzle. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, I guess I just kind of tried. But
yeah,
That it's just it's really interesting to think about it that way. And I love that there's never, just because it's not your birthday or the sun's not in your sign, doesn't mean there's not something to find or like connect to, relate
absolutely,
to.
Absolutely.
Every moment is an exciting new opportunity to find a little spark or something new. Like there's never a moment where the sky's not moving, that there's not something for you to be found.
Yeah.
I guess I should try to say
totally. And one of the number one questions astrologers get is like, what does it mean if like I don't have any planets in these signs, I don't have any planets in fire, I don't have any planets in Leo, like whatever. And it's like, no, there's no such thing as an empty sign or an empty house, because every house has a sign assigned to it and every sign has a house. And maybe that sounded confusing, but just basically, yeah, like even if you don't have, you know, the sun, the moon, or Mercury or any planets in a particular sign, that sign is still present in your chart. It's still taking up a house. It's still ruling an area of life for you. And I think it's very valuable to try and look into that. And that's my issue with CoStar and these apps that just list it out, because you're not getting that enriched perspective. But it's hard.
I tell people all the time too, who are like truly, truly, truly new to astrology, very, very beginners. And like, you know, when we're talking about astrology, they're like, you mean your your daily horoscope? I'm like, fuck no, that's not what I fucking mean. Respectfully. But like, that's, and not to say that it's not, to me, it's, that's too, that is, it's a little gimmicky for me personally. I would never put trust or weight into a daily horoscope, because to me, that's why it's important. Like these moon phases, these certain, there's so much more when you're just paying attention to the sky in general. Yeah. There's a more generalness to it, as much as there is tiny details as well. It's quite a spectrum. I don't know if I articulated that right. But it is. I think the listeners are not a daily horoscope follower.
Yeah. I would recommend that if you're going to use a daily horoscope, hopefully you know your time of birth and you can do it through a site like AstroDienst, which is my everything. Mm. And they actually do personalized daily horoscopes based on your rising, your whole entire chart. Yes. And then you can click little things that are specific to, like, oh, you know, Jupiter is opposing your sun today. And it's very like a specific description. But yeah, the generalized, it's like the first thing I look at when I wake up in the morning.
Well, that's different.
Like, it is different. That's not what you're describing. Like, yeah,
looking at just like a generic daily horoscope for your son, it's, we too understand generic now, or hopefully we learn exactly.
And it gives astrology a bad name. Generic ones, I think, have been like,
that's why I get defensive.
Me too.
And that's usually because like people who quote unquote don't believe,
they'll use it as a way to be like, it's they're saying this specific thing, and that's happening to every Leo right now. Like. Yeah,
not
it's bullshit.
Mean, so it's fake. And that's why I'm like, wait. We're just touching the surface here. Stranger I met on the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, Heather. Shall we get into the charts?
Let's. I'm excited.
We got some Virgo virgins today. Just kidding. Quite the opposite, respectfully.
Yeah. This person loves to talk about shagging.
Shagging. Are they British? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so is her husband.
I don't know if I realized that. Yeah. Sorry, Heather. Go ahead. Introduce them.
We are talking about, yes, I'm going to be covering one of the most iconic Real Housewives that has ever existed. She's trending right now. Lisa Vanderpump.
She's trending because of
the Vanderpump Rules drama. Vanderpump, I feel like she's a little bit more
trending right now. Yeah.
And I mean, she's so funny. What a Virgo move to like have. She created Vanderpump Rules because she owns a restaurant called Sir. And she witnessed firsthand all of her employees having the most epic drama ever. And she called Andy Cohen and was like, here's a show and we're going to call it Vanderpump Rules. Well, I don't know if it was really her decision, but it's just so funny. Then she has Vanderpump Dogs, the dog charity. Her other bar called Pump. It's all, she's good at branding, which is
and Pump and Sir are like on like almost the same block, right? I want to say like they're so close. And the reason I bring that up, Heather, is because when I was living in LA, I had some girlies visit from Florida, shouts out, and to Asia and Maria and Flannery. But Flannery is a huge fan of Vanderpump Rules, and I knew you were a huge fan too. And I think you had like gotten, you had tried to get me to watch it before, and I don't know if I can't, I just didn't. I think I probably work scheduling and I just fell off or whatever. Yeah. And, if I was going to watch TV, it was going to be Gilmore Girls for the 180th time. No.
Right.
But Flannery was a huge fan, and it was like all the girlies, I was like, what's everyone, because they were only there for like 3 days, so I was like, we'll try to get your big things in, what's everyone's sort of like big thing, and Flannery's was going to Sir, and I was like, okay, down. And we went to, it's in West Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. We passed Pump on the way in the Uber, and outside mm-hmm. of Pump was fucking Lisa Vanderpump. And
she's always there.
And Ken. I might have already mm-hmm. told the story on the podcast, so I apologize.
We might have. But no, it's okay.
I have to tell it again. But and her husband Ken, and she was holding her little dog, one of her little dogs, as so
Jiggy.
I guess mm-hmm. yeah.
The late crate.
Oh my God, Heather, you're killing me. So as you like brought up the dogs, I had to laugh because I was like, yeah. She does have those little fucking dogs. And I've only uh-huh. seen the bitch once. Respectfully, mm-hmm. the queen. And then we ate yeah. at Sir. I could not believe how tacky Sir is.
So
oh
tacky.
My God.
I know.
The reservations we had to make, the line outside of it. For that, it was I was literally like, wow, this they like it's it was just it was perfect. It was and like
I know.
Overpriced and small servings. And but we had a blast. And then the DJ
James Kennedy
was there at fucking Sir. There was like a back room bar, mm-hmm. outside bar, like mm-hmm. dance area, and he was mm-hmm. literally DJing. He's a Brit, right?
He came on to the show because he's friends with Lisa Vanderpump's son Max.
Yes.
And they're all from England.
Yes.
And
he's like problematic. Yeah. He like it's the pasta
he
guy,
actually,
right? It's
yeah,
not about
but he
the pasta.
Actually is like he's had an arc where he's one of the more likable.
He's had a Scott
not problematic.
Arc.
Yeah.
Yes, as I understand it. Is that a correct
yeah.
kind of like comparison?
Yeah,
almost
yeah,
like a Scott,
I think so.
Where it's
from
like,
what I understand.
You kind of hate him, and then like now you're like, you can't imagine the show without him, and you love him. And
he's kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he was a blast and so polite, so drunk. We all got so drunk. He led us behind the DJ booth. We have pictures and videos. It was a night. Like, we had a West Hollywood night. Flannery was in tears.
So fun.
My whole point was, and I've never even seen that show, and I was like, could imagine. And then I did. That's when I started watching it. It was after I went to Sir myself and then started.
Yeah.
I think I like watched the first season after that. And Flannery like wanted to put it on for the rest of like the weekend. And it yeah. was what a world. What a world. Anyways,
it's the best.
Go ahead.
I go every year for Pride because that's always when they're filming.
Ah.
And I got the same experience where I was there at 11 a.m.
Wow.
And James Kennedy was DJing. I ordered a drink from Tom Sandoval and Ariana. We were on camera. We had to fill out forms. Like almost the whole cast
oh
was there.
God.
It was like by far one of my favorite.
You got a
LA
drink from Ariana
that I've had. Literally,
the Ariana,
literally. Yes,
like the one who's been cheated
yes.
on.
And she was like,
and then the guy
wait,
who cheated on
what
her.
Did you order? Wait, how do you make this? Because she like is not actually bartending ever. But for the cameras, she was. But yeah, no, yeah, that Ariana. Mm-hmm.
And then Tom, that Tom.
And then that Tom when they were together. Yeah, this was like 3 years ago.
Oh my God, Heather.
One of the best days ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's truly a dream. And then Sheena sang Good as Gold. It was amazing.
But
anyway. Back to Lisa Vanderpump.
Back to the one and only.
Lisa's such an icon.
Yep.
Virgo sun, Cancer moon, although we don't have the rising. So I could see it being Leo. And it's far enough into Cancer that depending on the time of birth, it could be Leo. Mm. But Cancer makes sense to me too, especially her love of dog rescuing. And she really does make an effort to really champion dogs in distress and
so
to advocate for them. And
cute.
Yeah, she doesn't have to do that, but she does. But yeah, but she is such a fucking icon and so producer minded, which is such a Virgo thing. Mm-hmm. All of the most iconic Real Housewives in each of the franchises, Tamra Judge on Real Housewives of Orange County, Gisele Bryant on Real Housewives of Potomac, and Lisa Vanderpump are all like, people say that they produce the show because
right.
they have that brain, and they also get accused by their cast members of like being chess players
yeah.
and like manipulating scenes and right. stuff. But it's they're perfect for reality TV. But Lisa also has Mercury and Venus in Libra, which I think gives her her Yeah, the Sir is very tacky, and I think her taste ranges on tacky. But she also, oh my God, if you see her home, which is called Villa Rosa, this is why basically, sorry, I'm going down a hole. Please. I'm passionate about this.
No.
But Andy Cohen was when Bravo pitched the idea of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Andy Cohen was like, well, I don't know if we really need that. We already have Real Housewives of Orange County. We already have like a California franchise. Right. Like, I don't know. It's just going to be a lot of celebrities. And then he saw the tape of Lisa Vanderpump and her in her house of Villa Rosa with literal swans in the moat leading up to the mansion. And it's a whole glass moat? Exterior. She has a moat with swans. She also has ponies in her backyard and like all of these fucking animals, and everything is decked out in pink. I mean, I don't know if when you were at Sir, you saw her. I know. I don't know.
Show. Are you kidding?
Usually parked outside of Sir is her pink car. Like, she's obsessed with pink. She has her own line of rosé.
I literally think that's how Flannery knew to look outside of Pump. Maybe because her car was there.
Yes, and it's you can't miss the car.
Maybe, and then that made her see. Actually, now that you say the pink car thing, I feel like I have a flashback. Maybe I'm making that up, but go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that it's interesting that she has Mercury and Venus and Libra, because she is so charming and likable, and also obsessed with pink and light colors and rosé and girly things. But yeah, the taste is it is questionable sometimes.
Do you ever see her lose her cool?
So
sorry, did I jump the gun?
No, you didn't. So the thing is, it's a very Virgo way of losing her cool, where yes, I have. Like, she was best friends with Kyle Richards before they even started filming. And then they had a huge falling out. And that's the reason why she stopped doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Oh. It was all because of this fight between her and Kyle Richards, which was a real authentic relationship that they had even before the show.
Romantic relationship?
Dying at the Kyle Richards that drama, but no, I don't think Lisa and Kyle.
Right, Kyle Richards just came out.
Was it just rumors? I haven't been as
Alex will on the.
Yeah, I'm the one who should know this info. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That's why it could just be rumors.
So Lisa, when she loses her cool, like, she really, it takes a lot to get her to that level. And she's not like these other reality stars where she's like, fuck yeah, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like going explosive. Totally off the hinges.
Right.
Yeah. She's usually pretty calm and collected and will like sting you with a very calculated, you know, real, something that hurts. It's more like Scorpio, which I think Virgo can be like that sometimes. Right. They're not ones to be like, to lose it so much as to hit you with something too truthful and honest and hurtful.
That's the Pisces
way. While they're very composed. Yeah. No.
Sorry. Because I feel like anytime I've seen her in an episode is why I ask. She's almost got like the way I almost want to describe it is kind of like it's not Miranda from Devil Wears Prada, but it's almost like Dolly Parton-esque where I just can't. She gets her way by being charming. She truly has it down. She doesn't need to be explosive. She doesn't need to yell and cause a scene. She is so sort of like steady that at the second of like unsteadiness, it would be like almost scary. Or it's almost like someone who doesn't yell when they get mad, but they almost get like really calm and it's like even scarier or something. But yeah, she never strikes me as someone who's very explosive in that reality star way. But then as you just described her home, I'm like, no wonder we need to put this bitch on television. Like she's still, it's like reality quality, but without the, and it makes perfect sense why she's able to be like this steady constant matriarchy almost of these fucking kids.
She's totally the matriarch of Vanderpump
Rules. And like,
yes,
they're like,
absolutely.
Mom, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. They say that she's like a mother figure to them.
Like, I don't feel like she comes down, like they get a lot of chances and well, they make her a lot of money, but.
Right. But she actually does seem very understanding.
There's like a genuine authenticity. I know it's reality television, but there is almost like, exactly. It's because it's reality television. I feel like we can really see and almost understand that bullshit. It's a little more transparent. I feel like she really gives a fuck. about the cast, like, and the people who work for her, and that's why they get the chances they get. Of course, it's the TV drama, but like, that's what I mean. It almost feels like this would literally be what it is without the cameras there. It's how Vanderpump Rules feels like.
Yeah, totally.
The cameras are truly secondary. This just is how it is.
Yeah, and she had relationships with these people even before the cameras were on, and she was like, this is so real that we need to film this.
It's genius.
She is a genius. How,
I do, sorry, Heather, I have a personal gossip question. Where has she fallen in the Ariana Tom scandal? Is she like, is she on a team? Has she been
From my understanding, from the reunion and everything, she's kind of trying to be neutral and is trying to like encourage Sandoval to do all the right things and apologize and blah, blah, blah. And she's trying to see both sides, and that makes Ariana very upset. I kind of think there's a part of Lisa who's like, this is really good television. And Raquel Virgo. Is a Virgo too, actually. And I think Raquel, throughout all of this, had that in her mind. Like, well, I'm going to be a star. Like, I don't know. Like, you know. But at the same time, I do think Lisa genuinely cares about Ariana and about Tom. And I think you see
that. So it's hard. It's like a son and daughter. And it's like, she loves them both equally. But like, I was just curious and if she's, been.
She literally is in business with Tom Sandoval. Like, she helped Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz create the bar Tom Tom, who she's more of a stakeholder in that bar than even they are. So they are in this business partnership, which I think.
So it's like, even she kind of can't have an opinion murkier. As much as she wants. She probably is very Team Ariana, but it's just like, bitch, he makes me money.
Yeah,
that's hard. I know. I didn't realize she was like business partners with him. That makes sense. And Virgo, quite honestly. Interesting. Sorry. Go on.
And she has Mars in Gemini. She's so funny and witty and good with words, and that is a thing for Virgo, but also a thing for Gemini. And she is just so likable and being so witty. And it was my favorite part of watching her friendship with her and Kyle Richards. She would just like, I don't know, use these big British words to like make fun of Kyle, and Kyle would laugh it off, and it was funny.
Wait, and so I'm so sorry, Heather, when you say Mars, because like, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's 9 planets, 12 signs. So every planet is assigned an astrological sign, but then there's
some of them have are two doubled up.
Because they're, it's not quite even.
Yeah.
Now, and so, and then, but everyone does have planet placements. You can't escape that, right?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, everyone has all 9 planets in their chart.
Yes.
And then, so again, when you say Mars, what does Mars represent again? I'm so sorry.
Aries. So it's Mars is the ruled by Aries. Venus.
Aries. Mars rules Aries. Sorry.
Mars is Aries' ruling planet. Yeah, Mars rules Aries.
Mars. Okay, so the planets
rule the signs.
I don't
usually hear it that way.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No, you're right.
Okay, so the planets rule the signs.
Yeah.
And so Mars rules Aries. Okay, so if I'm trying to just like do my basic little research on planets, for example, because I am. Knowing that Mars represents rules Aries, I understand that to mean, and that's so symbolic, because isn't Mars literally made of fire? Do I have that right?
Right. And it's the opposite sign of Venus. Venus rules Libra. Libra is the opposite of Aries. Yeah.
Okay. So like Mars, we can understand is like a very fiery energy in itself.
Yes. Quote unquote masculine. It's all about how the ego goes about getting what it wants. Mm. It's the fighting principle.
So again, understanding the signs.
It's like assertion. And
understanding the signs and the elements they represent helps you understand what that planet's energy sort of brings, right?
So much.
Okay.
So
and then
much.
You said her Mars is in
Gemini.
Okay.
Which I think makes a lot of sense. She's sort of driven into, I think really likes understanding all of the different personalities, kind of playing chess, like I was saying, with like creating these scenes and just really good at communicating and conversation. And I think she kind of likes the gossip and mm-hmm. stuff. And yeah, yeah. But Mars and Gemini, there's like a need to communicate. And I think she does that, like, you know, not just with her staff, but in a reality show is like communicating a story.
Yeah. And then she said she has Cancer in her... her moon?
The moon is either in Cancer or in Leo. Both would make sense to me.
Cancer makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, because she is so like the mother of them. All these people.
Does she have kids of her own?
She does.
Okay.
Pandora and Max.
Pandora.
Pandora.
A spiritual bitch. We love that. A mythological bitch. Yeah. Oh, we'll get into that later. No, that's really interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. There's one more thing. Yeah, the Cancer moon makes sense just because of her maternal energy. But again, I know we can't kind of know that for sure.
I think even in her relationship with like Kyle Richards and the cast of Beverly Hills, like she did have this maternal. It wouldn't surprise me if she's Cancer moon.
I did not she know even, that like, that's why she like left Real Housewives.
Yeah, it was this fight over one of the dogs. Yeah, they still don't talk. Wow. It's really sad. That's they sad. Had like such a fun friendship to watch. Ugh. It's the most heartbreaking part of Real Housewives is when friendships disintegrate. Yeah. It's like, it feels real.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry, Heather, continue.
Oh, yeah, no, that's it. I don't really have much else to say. She has Moon in opposition to Saturn, and oppositions are I think the strongest aspects in charts. And
why?
So there's a strong work ethic there, because it's like it's that full moon energy of like the opposite signs coming together. It's friction, which is felt very palpably, but then it's a literal opposition. You know, it's different than like a square or a trine, which is an easy flowing energy. I think you feel the oppositions the most.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And like being in opposition, like that energy doesn't, do you think it's because it's like, it's a better, like a person maybe with more oppositions is in better flow with themselves, or opposite? They're more in like a challenging place with themselves.
Liz Green would say there's more creative tension. There's more conflict in the chart that actually gets you off your ass and makes you have to like deal with opposites within you in a creative way to, you know, challenge is good. So like when you have oppositions in your chart, it's a sign that you have these opposing energies that you're supposed to work through in order to become a more complex individual and compromise the energies it's creative tension. Yeah.
I love that. Oh, Heather, you're really painting me some pictures today. No, that's awesome.
Lisa, she's a work of art.
She is. And I don't even like, I'm not a religious watcher of Vanderpump Rules. I've seen quite a handful of bits of it. But one of my favorite Lisa Vanderpump like TikToks that I've seen, and especially because I'm not someone who's an avid watcher, but this shit's been all over my For You page still with the Ariana and Tom stuff. But there's like a clip of Lisa. I have no idea who she's talking to. You might, Heather, you might remember this scene. She's like, someone like says like, you're ignoring me or you're being rude to me, and she's like, you're not important enough to care about, or something like that. She's like, sit down. And like, no yelling. She's just like, and even kind
of not important enough to care about. Sit down.
She's even like, oh, come on. Like, it's very, even the dismissive, like, kind of, there's almost like a laugh to it. And like, I can bet she's that's why she doesn't need to yell. She's that Gemini essence of like, or what you said, like Mars and Gemini, right? Like, I almost can feel that Gemini wit with her. And like, especially Brits and they're very dry and like,
but Virgo too is Mercury ruled. Mercury shares rulership over Gemini and Virgo. It's like both signs are pretty witty and with it, and a lot of Virgo comedians there's a sharpness.
She's amazing.
I love that.
She'd come on a podcast.
You're not important enough to
right, is that what she said? Or like, she's
I don't know ignore, if it's care about, but I know what you're talking about.
Or like
about.
Fire. Like, or,
I think she's talking to Jax or something. Or I think or it's Kristen.
A woman, yeah.
Kristen. It might be Kristen. Yeah, brunette, Pisces.
Oh, maybe it is a brunette. It might be, I almost thought it was Raquel, but it's not her, I don't think. But yeah, she's literally like, oh, get off your fucking feelings. You're no one.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but still says it like in a charming.
I know. It's like.
Likeable way. It's so good. If you haven't seen that clip, yeah. Listeners, folks, go ahead and get it. Go ahead and search it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouts out to Lisa Vanderpump. She'd be great on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to Sir and Pump. Mm-hmm. We love it. We love it. Our next Virgo, Heather, Keke Palmer. So fun. Has been around since like they were a child actor.
Yeah.
I know them like from my own childhood. But like recently in the limelight, not recently in the limelight, but like recently I'll see clips of interviews and things like that. And they're cracking me up. Keke Palmer is so funny again. And it's interesting that you bring up that like Virgo wit and like that how like a lot of comedians can be.
A lot of them are Virgos, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Keke's so funny. Very what feels like authentically themselves in like an interview. Virgo sun, Sag moon. So again, I'm like, I feel like I'm getting that energy of like, ah, they're older. They're not a child star anymore. They have more like autonomy over what they get to say and do. When we really see that like contrast of like Disney kids, because yeah. It's like, it's not reality and they're not living normal childhoods. No. And they have to be these like really on and like well-behaved little robots. The Virgo sun, the Sag moon, and then Cancer rising.
Aww.
And like you do, like you're watching Keke in like an interview or just like, you know, not something that they're incredible actress, completely, completely talented. Very good in Nope. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Would never forget the name of that movie. And yeah, I just have been loving seeing them sort of shine in these interviews. And it's like refreshing. It's just really been like fun. And the Sag moon makes a lot of sense to me. I feel the fire energy.
Mm.
But it was funny. Yeah, you specifically saying Virgos and their sense of humor. Specifically, yeah, I think of it was a good transition into Keke.
Yeah, what is the humor like in the interviews? Kind of like just
like jokes about them at their expense.
Okay,
very, and that's where the down to earth, like I think, like yeah. authenticity feeling.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm getting comes from because it's very like celebrities. I think like dog on themselves all the time, but like yeah, that Virgo sense of humor. And I knew I swore I wouldn't bring him up again, but like my dad is one of the funniest fuckers I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Virgo son, and can really make fun of, can laugh at himself. Very Keke feels very similar, can laugh at herself.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A major celebrity, but like hee hee. And like very honest. I want to say there was like an interview where she was talking about like smoking weed.
Oh, fun.
And just being really like authentic and honest about it. Cool. In a way that was like, that's so fucking awesome to see from like a kid who was once on Disney.
For or, sure.
You know, right? I want to say Keke was on Disney.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. No, for sure. Anyways. I'm trying to remember what movie was it?
The Bee movie, right? There's like a spelling
Aquila
bee.
And the Bee.
Oh.
But was that Disney? Bee. I don't think it was Disney.
It might not have been Disney.
But I think she was in
but
a movie
But it gives you know, like
Corbin
that
Blue.
Disney feel.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, yeah, I was reading her biography before we started recording, and I thought it was interesting that she was like auditioning for Broadway and stuff when she was 10 years old and didn't get the part for the show she was auditioning for.
Really?
But she had such a fire about pursuing a career in entertainment, and she had to like encourage her sister to like, her sister was about to start high school, and she was like, I know that you're really excited about high school and you know you probably want to stay in the same city, but I really believe in myself and want us all to move to California so that I can like really pursue this for real. And that's what they did. But that is so
Holy
Virgo
shit.
To be like a child with that work ethic, like Nick Jonas, we were mm-hmm. talking about, like it's mm-hmm. it's really unique when the kid is like, no, I want to work for this. I believe in myself. I want to do this. Like, let's take the steps.
And I will.
Yeah.
And like, it's not bullshit, obviously.
Right. Yep. Right.
You hear about a lot of like famous people who had to fight for themselves, even in like, to convince their family or like their parents or like
mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift. I know she's not Virgo, but Sag.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's,
and like her whole family packed up for her because right. she wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. Emma Stone, I believe, has a similar story mm-hmm. where she like did like a PowerPoint to get her to convince her parents to move them to Hollywood. Yeah, that's really impressive. And then again, all three of those people, like those are their stories. And look where they're at.
Yeah.
I almost do think, obviously, work ethic to me is something that can absolutely be tapped into. It can be absolutely something you can work on and train and like,
yeah.
I think tap into more. But there is something being said when it's just in your natural like instinct, in your mm-hmm. literal birth chart. And it's just like mm-hmm. the way you were born. It does mm-hmm. feel like there almost is something that's like, I'm very envious of people who just have a natural born work ethic.
Yeah.
And I really do feel like that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And
clearly.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, Heather, in her chart that is worth mentioning?
There's a lot of very artistic. Oh.
Did I just fall asleep? go ahead. Artistic.
Yeah. Well, the moon in Sag is in the fifth house, which is Leo's house of self-expression. And then Venus is right on the ascendant, which also is very beauty oriented. They say that's a very creative placement because Venus is creative in that Libra Taurus way of having an eye for aesthetics and bringing beauty forward. They say if you have Venus like really close to the ascendant, because the ascendant is your appearance and your outward persona, that you right. usually are very attractive. Kiki Palmer is very beautiful. And yeah, there's also Mars and Jupiter in opposition to the midheaven, and the midheaven is the career point, and Jupiter is the lucky planet. So I think that is like a, you know, it was good of the family to take that risk and move to California. If they saw the natal chart, they would be like, oh yeah, for sure, we should
they
do this.
Trust their gut. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so fascinating. That's really, it's like it's in the stars. From the literal beginning sometimes. Not that there's not things you can't change or, but like,
yeah,
it's always so
there's
fun.
There's free will, but there's fun when, yeah, when you can see
when
it
there's so,
symbolically.
A connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kiki, come on the pod.
Come on the
honestly.
Pod.
I think she'd smoke a little weed with us.
Yeah.
And really we'd get into it, you know, mm-hmm. we'd really talk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What such fun Virgos. Just Virgo in itself has been a very... Again, I think it's an earth sign I obviously feel connected with selfishly with my own Piscesness and how we share that sort of
right.
like me and Virgo share a lot of themes. But yeah. And then, but I also have Taurus in my chart and like there's so the, and I know that you do as well, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a world of kind of like also just we're in an earth mixed with Pisces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a weird spot, y'all.
Yeah.
It is a weird spot.
It's a good spot though. I've been feeling yeah. very lately with this Pisces full moon and everything, like, and with it being with Saturn, and this could maybe be a good segue into talking about the astrology of the moment, but yeah, this Pisces full moon in particular, in opposition to the sun in Virgo, we have the earth and we have the dreaminess, and then Saturn's involved, and it's our Saturn return, so there's also that element of, you know, a higher purpose, career, getting your ducks in order to make plans for your career in a very earthy way and the authority mm-hmm. you want to be in the world. So I've been feeling so much like I want to know my career path and like returning to my dream and like what's the ultimate dream and how do I take the earthy Virgo yeah. Saturn steps to get there has been a mm-hmm. huge theme this past week for me. I don't know if you can relate.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like everything you just said was like a nail on the head for me personally as well. And I think selfishly, yes, a lot of it is a Saturn return element, specifically where we're at right now, specifically in my trajectory as well. Like, and we're both coming up on like 30, which society puts a pressure on, but I'm really trying to relax into the energies as they come.
Yeah.
The signs that we're in, like, I know that my mom would probably be, she's listening to this with the chick, thank God she's not. She's like, you're what?
Oh my God.
How? But no, truly, I think that otherwise it's a very overwhelming and you let societal pressures get in.
I know.
And we just already have enough of that bullshit
we do.
In the world that I just like, yeah, I can't feel more kind of connected to the energy that's happening if I try.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been a really beautiful sort of observance, I guess is the word I should say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and this is a extra charged up time. This whole year has been really charged.
Yes.
Astrologically. I know that sounds like, oh, yeah, but like truly,
no.
it kind of started with a bang, mm-hmm. and there's been so many consistent pops of bangs since. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we're in another one. All for the beautiful, all for a bigger, better, beautiful. Not any of it is something to fear or be scared of. It's just, wow, what an energetically charged time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
100%. Yeah.
And that's all we can ever really hope for, right? Otherwise it gets dull.
It gets boring. I know.
Boring.
I like the tides of the ocean pulling
me. Well,
we
have Pisces undertones, so right. we would.
I know. I need the excitement.
But again, I think everyone, there's quite a bit of waves to ride. And I think more people are aware of it now. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And the aliens, they're coming.
Come on. Come on. Come on. What? Rent's due on the first?
The aliens are going to be here in a few hours.
This is not how I envisioned it.
Oh,
I love you so much, Heather.
I love you.
It's been a good astrological year. What can we say?
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, we love you.
Love you.
Heather Cunningham, our Lord and Savior with the astrology knowledge.
Oh my goodness.
Me, Miranda Linsky, our Lord and
Queen, host queen
of Winterfell herself. Asking Heather the hard questions. All right. Challenge yourselves this week. Okay. All Virgos would. Love you.
Love you.
Infinite abundance. Bye.
Bye.